Suffering from seasonal irritants? As the pollen count rises, support your immune system with Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid, a targeted blend of nutrients and botanicals designed to help maintain healthy histamine balance and everyday comfort. Quiksilver Scientific Cystaid works with your body's natural response to seasonal environmental challenges, so you can feel your best all season long. Get 10% off and free shipping at tryqs.com/podcast. Again, that's tryqs.com/podcast for 10% off and free shipping. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
There is no problem of life in the sense in which we ordinarily use that phrase. And that seems an almost astounding affront to our common sense. Life not a problem. We see it as nothing but problems. We regard ourselves in a morning, noon, and night struggle to solve the great problem of existence. And for some people, this problem is why does the universe exist? For other people, the problem is how am I going to get enough to eat? And therefore, when you take it at one extreme or the other, who can say that life is not a problem? And yet here is this audacious suggestion that what we are bothering about is a ghost. It's something that isn't really there. One of the characteristics of neurotic behavior, you know, is it's repetitive. The neurotic personality keeps going through unsuccessful life patterns again and again and again, and nothing seems to be able to stop it. The round or the rat race of birth and death, that is to say, of life as we ordinarily live it. Because it is a round, it is a vicious circle, for the reason that we keep trying to solve problems that are not simply overwhelmingly difficult, but problems that are not problems at all. They only look like problems. And so when we tackle, you see, impossible questions, things go round and round and never come out. Now, take for example some of the many ghosts which haunt our minds. We say, for example, that we all have an instinct to survive. And a lot of people thus treat the problem of life as, how am I to survive? And one might almost be a little cautious about relieving people of this problem, lest they should lose the impetus to go on doing their work. But that also, impetus to go on doing your work, is another ghost. We think we are driven, you see. We think that what we do has these mysterious things behind it. See, it's very important simply to keep your eye on what is being done and to describe that. And if you describe it clearly enough and well enough, you will probably find that the ghost of instinct disappeared. Thus, you see, when we talk about an instinct for survival, what is this saying? What is the evidence for the fact that there is an instinct for survival? There is no evidence except that, in fact, people survive until they don't. And this is rather odd, because what happens to the instinct for survival when people don't survive? So, in this way, we find that when we try to explain some kind of behavior, some kind of activity, by supposing that there is a motivating force, a sort of incarnate spook behind the whole thing, what has really happened is that we haven't described what's going on sufficiently clearly. Now, this comes out in another way. When we try to describe anything at all and think that we are describing something that, as it were, exists all by itself. As I've often said, we are so bugged by the notion of stuff, you see, stuff acting, stuff doing things, But all that is, you see, is that the world strikes us as being material until we examine it closely. In other words, a distant nebula in the heavens looks like a solid star. Until you turn a giant telescope on it and you make out the clear pattern of a spiral nebula. In other words, the concept of stuff is a sensation that we get when we haven't examined things sufficiently closely, or when our instruments are not fine enough to penetrate what we're observing. But when the instruments are fine enough, what we get instead is pattern, and pattern is simply a form of behavior, of activity.
This episode sponsored by Head Shop. For smokers everywhere, 420 is basically a holiday, and headshop.com is celebrating with their biggest sale of the year. Right now, the 420 sale is live with up to 50% off hardware across the site. That means huge savings on vaporizers, bongs, dab rigs, pipes, and the gear you actually want. If you've been waiting for the right time to upgrade your setup, this is it. Go to headshop.com now and shop the 420 holiday sale to save up to 50% while it lasts.
Consider this in another way. Let's go back to the human organism and ask the question, well, what about its shape? How is it that a human organism is contained? All the organs are kept in by the skin. Well, we will describe, of course, the structure of skin and how it is that it holds together. But then we'll soon find out that we're also talking about the surrounding air, which impinges upon the human skin with a pressure of about 15 pounds per square inch, so that if it weren't there, we'd explode. Now, so the question arises, what is keeping the organism in shape? And we find out that it is not only what is going on inside the skin that keeps it in shape, but also what's going on outside the skin. And when we go on to describe this still more carefully, we discover that it isn't quite correct to say that it is the air that is doing this, or that it is the organism that is doing this. We begin to describe instead what Dewey and Bentley, in their very fascinating book, Knowing and the Known, call a transaction. Now that is to say, a buyer can't buy unless somebody is also selling. You can't know anything unless there's something to know. And this fact, you see, is constantly overlooked, that anything in the world, whether it's inanimate or animate, whatever it may be, is there by virtue of being in a transactional relationship, not with something else, but with everything else. A human being, of course, has ever so many relationships. They're very complicated. A person, say we call a doctor, is not only related to his actual work of doctoring, but he may be also a father related to a family. He's a citizen related to a community in other ways than as the doctor, and so on and so forth. And so we begin to imagine him, as it were, apart from his relationships, as a sort of constant, going through all these different relationships, and therefore in some way different from them all. But this, you see, creates a ghost. It creates a being independent of all the different relationships in which he finds himself. Whenas, strictly speaking, he is inseparable from those relationships. And we can't eliminate them. We can only describe him fully as the entire whole complex. So that, in other words, every organism could be called the behavior of the field or environment in which it is found. Now, this doesn't mean that the organism is something pushed around by the environment and is completely passive and inert, and that everything that it does is simply a response to external stimulus. Because, in a way, the organism is part of its environment. After all, it is an object, a process in nature, in the cosmos, just as much as everything in its environment. There is really no way of separating the two. Instead of speaking, as it were, in this terminology of doers and done-tos, attackers and victims, we simplify things considerably. Just by confining ourselves to a description of what is happening. And as we do this, we get a peculiarly clarified picture of the world, without all sorts of ghosts. And it is in this way that we also begin to be able to have some preliminary intuition or sensation of the meaning of the fact that life is not a problem. In other words, not a contest between ourselves and our environment. This conception of life turns out to be basically phony.